Give the people what they want to hear. Give the people what they want to hear. Me. John Bruno Costanzo. I'm running for president too, by the way. I'm going to build a wall on the east and west coast. So nobody can use the beaches except me. There won't be another invasion of Normandy or anything like that.
Why invasion of Normandy? Please elaborate.
Nobody's going to be storming our beaches. That's for damn sure.
We have to protect Ocean City.
Yes, the precious Ocean City.
When are you running, JB?
I'm running right now. Vote for me.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble into. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared that we want to share with you, but, you know, sometimes we will venture onto uncharted territories and explore the realms of things that we did not prepare for the show.
Yeah, we're like explorers.
Yes.
Without a map or a compass, we're just setting sail on the open seas of absurdity.
That's right.
We're hoping not to dash our ships along the craggy rocks of craziness.
That's right, and we're going to keep going forward full mast.
Right. Or maybe we will crash.
Perhaps. But if we do, you'll notice here on the podcast. But before we delve into all the adventures that await us in this week's episode, we like to do a little recap as to what we've been up to in the past week since we last recorded the show. Mike, what have you been up to? What's up?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, fantastic. No. Great. Oh, wow. Way to start off the show.
Yeah, I know. No, I really haven't been doing anything now that I think about it. Isn't that sad? I've been busy with, like, so I'm, like, starting a new job, so I'm doing...
Well, that's pretty big news for you.
Yeah, you know, getting ready for that and getting into a new schedule and trying to still buy a car and finishing up the semester. So I've basically been doing a lot of work-oriented things. So it's not that thrilling. Yeah, I know.
Boring.
I still haven't finished Mass Effect. Haven't watched any new TV shows or movies.
Well, how are you going to do this weekend entertainment?
I'm just going to sit here and stare at the microphone and hope that something happens.
Hopefully you'll get the transmissions from 20th Century Fox and DreamWorks.
Exactly.
Okay. No, I know. We actually do have that prepared. Don't worry.
We do. Yes, as we always do have it prepared.
Yep.
Just by the skin of our teeth. But we got it done.
Excellent. That's what matters.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been very busy lately. Gosh, I know that sounds terrible, but that's basically it for me.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Rich?
Here's something that I want to bring up is over the weekend, Rick Markey had a show in Spring City that I went to.
Awesome.
We've had him on our show a couple times. Absolutely hilarious. I swear he's getting funnier and funnier.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah. He is just improving on his craft. I've noticed he's doing a little bit more ad-libbing now. I don't know. Maybe it was because it was a smaller venue. Because he was doing, like, the Troc and, like,
right.
You know, Trocadero, you know, established places.
Right.
This was, like, a new venue out in Spring City. So maybe that had a factor in it that, you know, it was kind of a smaller audience and...
Right, you can, like, you know, single out people, or it's more intimate, or whatever.
But he did some great ad-libbing to the audience there, and he's just getting better and better. So, here's something that I always just want to, you know, throw out there, is that, you know, if you have a favorite comedian, or you just want to laugh, go out to see some local shows. Got to get out there, you know? It's worth your time. I had a blast. His show was... at Chaplin's last Friday night, and it was a great show. It was him, Glenn Deary, and Alex Magakis, and
Chris Nee,
thank you. Yeah.
He was on the podcast.
He was on the podcast too. That's what I was about to say. Thank you.
You're the one that went, not me.
Yeah. So it was a great lineup. And yeah, it was a great show, and it's good to support our own that have come here on the show and have given us funny moments here on the show. So it was good. Yeah. I absolutely love going to see these shows.
I haven't been to many comedy shows, but the few that I've been to, I had a really good time. The one we went to see a while back, like 2 years ago, we went to see Rick Mirarchy.
Yep.
And then we went to see Vic DiPetetto in the city. That was really good.
Yeah.
it's always a good night out to go see a comedy act.
Yeah, I highly recommend it, especially if you have a favorite comedian that's coming to the area. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, splurge for the money. Go ahead.
Whose line is it anyway, people are coming to the area?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
that's coming up.
Maybe we'll have to go check them out as well. So there you go. A little bit of what we've been up to since the last broadcast that we did. But for now, let's jump right into what we've got for the topics. And our first batch, we revolve around sports. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
See in your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face. And we do have quite a number of topics to go to. So how about we try and knock out as many as we can in our quick rundown segment. We call it the 2-minute drill. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, let me get the clock going. There it is. And go, Mike. What do you got?
All right. This week in the 2-minute drill, we're starting with a little bit of football news. After spending 10 years with the Minnesota Vikings, future NFL Hall of Fame running back Adrian Peterson recently signed a 2-year, $7 million deal with the New Orleans Saints. Peterson, now 32, will likely take a complementary role with the team, sharing snaps with often injured veteran starter Mark Ingram. Rich, what do you make of this deal? Smart move for the Saints? Bad move for the Saints?
I think it's too little too late. I mean, this combo would have been great. This Breeze AP combo would have been great a couple seasons ago. Now, I don't know. They're both at the twilight of their careers. I don't know. I don't think this is really going to pay off, but I may be wrong.
Or did they overvalue Adrian Peterson?
I think so. $3.5 million in guaranteed money.
For a 32-year-old running back with multiple knee injuries?
Yeah.
Well, he could prove us all wrong. And I hope he does. Adrian Peterson, one of the greats. Speaking of greats in sports, former New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter and former governor of Florida Jeb Bush are joining forces to buy the Miami Marlins. What about this headline right here? This is a huge deal. The deal, estimated to be worth $1.3 billion, would see Bush having ultimate control of the franchise, with Jeter taking a behind-the-scenes leadership role. What do you make of this pairing? What do you make of this move?
Well, Jeter makes sense because he said he didn't want to be away from the game too long.
Right.
Jeb Bush, what is he?
I don't know where that's coming from.
Is he jealous of W? You know, because W had that stint with the Astros.
That's right.
Like, I don't know. And what is it with all these politicians trying to buy baseball teams? Is that like the plan B if you don't succeed in politics? Go buy a baseball team. I don't know.
Why not? Hey, when you're an old, wealthy white guy, why not?
Sure, I guess.
Oh. Dale Earnhardt Jr. retired from NASCAR. He was good at driving.
And there you go. I think that's an appropriate way to end the 2-minute drill.
That worked out better than I thought.
That was our last topic in the 2-minute drill.
And that's literally all I had written down.
Yeah.
I didn't have a big, you know, little spiel prepared. It was just Dale Earnhardt Jr. retired. He was good at driving.
Just a quick tidbit. I mean, here's our problem.
I know nothing about NASCAR driving.
Yeah, first off, we don't know anything about NASCAR. Second, is NASCAR really a sport? Let's be honest.
I don't think so. I know that's going to offend a lot of people. I don't think we have any NASCAR fans listening. And if we do, I apologize. I don't think it's a sport.
No.
It's driving. And I know it's fast driving and there's technical aspects and you have to be, you know, fit and you have to have reflexes. But I still, it's the car that's doing the performing. Well, that's like saying hunting is a sport.
Well, no. That's not my problem with NASCAR is there's no variety. Every track is you're just driving around in a circle.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make
sometimes it's like more of an oval or like a rounded triangle.
Yeah. Boy, you're really pushing the boundaries.
Well, sometimes they have like two turns. Sometimes they have three.
No, no. If you want a true racing sport, F1 is where to go.
Yeah, F1's got all the twists.
Yeah,
and
there's
turns
twists and turns. Oh my God, the Europeans treat that like it's life or death.
I still am not a big fan of racing.
If you're like a split second off on the pit, oh my gosh, it's everyone pulls out their hair. Oh my God.
I mean, even that's
high stakes.
You see, even that's pushing it for me.
There's 24 hours of Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Oh my gosh, that one is actually.
Yeah, they do the 24 hours straight, right?
Yeah, that one is crazy to follow.
Is that a track or is that like a point A to point B race? Like, are they racing to someplace or is it just a track they go around?
It's a track and it's 20 and it's
and they just have to drive
straight
around for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know what would be really cool?
It's crazy.
This would be logistically impossible. But if they like had them race from like one city to another city, it would be logistically impossible.
A cannonball run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're not like sanctioned by like F1 or anything, but yeah, they do have those kind of races as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be logistically impossible.
Run,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's our brief racing bit.
Yeah. I know nothing about racing.
No,
that
we really
is
don't.
The extent of what I know.
Yeah. I only know really
cars go fast.
That's it. And I just love saying that. Le Mans.
Le Mans.
It just sounds fancy. 24 hours of Le Mans.
It's French, you know? Yeah.
But NASCAR, I'm sorry, that doesn't count as a sport. There's no variety. You're driving around in a circle.
The car is doing all the work.
Well, that all right. Well, that would be your argument for racing in general.
No, I mean like that, the other things that you said, but also you know, I have a lot of problems with it.
Okay, but there you go.
And the fact that people only watch it for the crashes, they're not watching it for the racing. Whatever.
So there you go, Dale Earnhardt Jr. We'll be retiring. Okay, let's move on to more actual sports in the sports sampler.
Real sports.
Yeah, real sports, like golf.
No. No, I know we're not talking about golf.
Not yet. We will shortly, though. It's coming up. Not yet, but not yet. It's coming.
No, instead, we're talking about something much more exciting, Rich. We're talking about the NFL schedule!
Oh boy, schedules!
Yeah, scheduling!
You sound like Woody Page over there. It's all about the schedule!
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that went over yet. Okay.
No, it's just totally, like, soared over my head, 10,000 feet.
There's a writer who guest stars on Around the Horn. Remember that show on ESPN? And whenever they made an argument about, like, who's going to make the playoffs or what do you expect out of a team this season, his first argument would be, look at the schedule!
Now I remember Woody Page.
Yeah, there you go. Now you remember.
He was the guy that I always hated.
Okay.
I found him annoying.
Fantastic. I thought he was all right.
I couldn't stand
him. I liked him.
Him and, who's that other guy that I hate? Whose name I can't remember.
Is it Jay Mariotti?
No. Yeah. I can't remember. Anyway.
Okay.
Is it Skip Bayless?
Oh,
I don't
no.
like Skip Bayless.
Oh. I'm with you there. Yeah, I hate Skip Bayless. No, Skip Bayless.
If I had to pick two,
Skip Bayless is a demon.
He's so annoying.
Yeah.
No, because doesn't he do that show with Shannon Sharp now?
Right.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's annoying.
Yeah.
Whenever the Cowboys are doing good,
oh,
it's
my
team.
Oh, shut
my
up.
My Dallas Cowboys. And then when they're not doing well, oh, I never said I was a Cowboys fan.
I can't stand it.
Like, what? You are the definition of a typical Cowboys fan that I hate.
Yeah, Skip Bayless is one of my least favorite sports analysts.
I'm with you on that one.
I mean, like Troy Aikman and well, they're commentators first off, but Skip Bayless just in my mind he's the worst.
Okay, now that we've
anyway,
done 12 minutes of not heading into the main topic, we need to,
that's what the show's about.
Yeah, we need to delve into the main topic here. The Eagles schedule came out. And we like to go over it whenever it first comes out. Should we do predictions? What do you want to do? How should we handle this?
Should we just do a general overview of any scheduling quirks, and then we can give our predictions for the upcoming season?
Okay.
All right.
What are your quirks?
Well, all right. So, well, first of all, looking at the schedule, I thought it was interesting that we opened with back-to-back away games. It's not too unusual, but to go on the road 2 weeks in a row at the very start of the season might be a little tricky for this Eagles team still trying to get their feet under them. But I like the fact that we get three straight home games before the bye.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, you don't have to go anywhere, so you don't have to worry about traveling leading up to the bye. It just it seems like a good situation for the Eagles.
Bye week is in the middle of the season.
Week 10, it's like right there where you need it, right before you head into the home stretch.
Not that BS week 4.
Yeah,
that was so annoying.
Whenever you get a week 4 bye, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
You just
I think they're getting rid of it. I think it's done.
Really? When are they starting now?
Week 5.
Week
Yeah, I mean, hey,
I
week 4 was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you're barely in the season.
Yeah, you didn't even really hit the season. Yeah.
You haven't even played a month yet.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So take improvement where you can, Mike.
Right. I would prefer it like week 6s, but, you know, whatever. But the one big quirk, and you pointed this out to me, Rich, that we have back-to-back weeks on the West Coast.
That's right. Week 13 and 14, Eagles at Seahawks, then Eagles at Rams. So they will stay on the West Coast for those 2 weeks. Doug Peterson actually requested this because he hated last year's schedule. Apparently there was a portion of the schedule where they were on the West Coast, had to go back home, then had to come back to the West Coast.
Right.
And he specifically asked the scheduling committee to place their West Coast games together. So he got his wish.
Could that be viewed as like favorable treatment?
No, it's just a request. You can make a request for anything you want. I mean,
okay.
It's up to the scheduling
committee.
Could
we only play 12 games now?
No. It's up to the scheduling committee whether or not they're going to grant it or not.
Yeah, so. I just wonder if, you know, people are going to be like, oh, the Eagles got preferential treatment or
No, I don't think so. Nobody would ever say that.
The Eagles never get preferential treatment.
That's why we've won so many Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We're basically like the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go
ahead. What were you going to say?
Should we try and predict how they're going to go?
Yeah. Sure. Let's do that. You want to go week by week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's do it lightning fast. Eagles at Redskins. Who should we go with here?
Boy, opening against the Redskins. I think we can win that.
Okay.
I'm going to try and keep a tally.
No, I got the...
Oh, you got a tally?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it going over
here. You're ahead of me. Good job.
Yep. How about Eagles at Chiefs, week 2?
That's a loss.
I agree with you there.
I think, yeah, it's a loss.
Week 3, first home game, Giants at Eagles.
Oh, that's a toughie. The Giants are always a tricky team. They got those wide receivers. They improved, this offseason. But I think we might be able to pull off a win in our first home game.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think they're going to split. So
split the Giants? So,
yeah.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
They're probably going to split the Cowboys and the Giants. The Redskins are the only team they could pull off 2 wins against, and even that stretching it.
All right. So
they might split the whole division.
All right, so how about we say they go 3-3 in the division?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know which ones they're going to win and lose, but they're definitely, they're going to go 3-3 probably.
Okay. Well, that would be an improvement from last year.
Yeah, what were we in the division last year?
1-5.
Oh.
Yeah, so that would...
Yeah, I forgot how bad we were last year. I had put it out of my mind until you brought it up. We're going over the schedule. I'm like, oh, what position did we finish? Third? And you're like, no,
fourth.
We
finished last year.
Way to bring me down, Rich.
Hey, you asked. okay, so I'm going to fill that in, that we're going to go 3-3 in the division.
Okay.
Okay, week 4 is Eagles at Chargers.
We should be able to beat the Chargers.
So.
That's one of those games where it's like, we should win, and we absolutely lose.
Yeah, they blow it or something.
But I'm going to say it's a win right now.
Okay. Week 5, Cardinals at Eagles.
The Cardinals had a down season. That doesn't mean they can't bounce back. I don't think they'll be able to. Those players keep getting a little bit older. I think the Eagles might be able to sneak out a win at home here.
Okay.
What do you think about the Cardinals?
Yeah, I would say so. The Cardinals haven't really done anything to improve their team.
Larry Fitzgerald is like, what, 47 years old?
Not 47, but he's up there. Yeah, it's probably, you know what, in all intents and purposes, it's probably going to be his last season this year.
Probably. And their quarterback.
Carson Palmer.
He's getting old, too.
Oh, yeah. It's probably his last season,
They lost a few defensive players, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're on rocky footing right now.
Week 6, Eagles at Panthers.
The Panthers should bounce back. That's going to be a loss.
Yeah, I think so. Week 8, 49ers at Eagles.
We should be able to beat the 49ers.
I hope
Come on, we got to beat Chip Kelly. No,
Chip Kelly got fired.
That's right. Yes. Oh, my day just got so much better.
I can't believe you forgot that.
I... Rich, I forgot we were in last place, too.
Jeez, short memory over there.
It's been a long week.
Okay. Week 9, Broncos at Eagles. I think that's Broncos.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be Broncos.
All right. Then bye week, then we're assuming a split with the Cowboys. Week 12, Bears at Eagles. I think.
We should beat the Bears.
Yeah.
You know, they just lost their wide receiver to us.
Right. If we don't, if week 8 and week 12 roll around, the ones against the 49ers and the Bears, and we don't win those games,
man.
We're in trouble.
Well, we'll know by that point in the season. If we drop, you know, the 49ers, the game to the 49ers, we'll know what the rest of the season is going to look like.
Yeah.
Because that would be a bad one to lose.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
All right. Week 13, Eagles at Seahawks.
Loss.
Yeah, Seahawks.
That's a loss. When have we ever played well against the Seahawks?
Never. Week 14, Eagles at Rams. This is part of the
They have
West
not
Coast.
Had a winning season since 2003. Yeah, we're going to lose this game.
Oh, the Rams?
No. We should win. Okay. I think that's a win.
All right. Split then the it's a division game, Giants. Then week 16, Raiders at Eagles.
Loss.
Yeah, that's Raiders.
Too higher powered for us, especially we don't have no defense.
All right. And then we end with the Cowboys. So going by your assumption, we're going to split division records and everything that you have just said. The grand total is, you ready, Mike? 8-8.
Woo! I hate my life.
Here we go.
Can we redo it?
8-8. Woo!
I mean,
yeah.
realistically, what are we expecting from the Eagles, though?
We're going to get a 16th pick in the draft. Woo!
Yay! That's pretty much where the Eagles are right now.
Yes.
You know, they're a team that could be on the rise if they get the right players in the right positions. We need a lot of help on defense. The offense is still a question mark. It's still trying to come together. No running backs, new wide receivers, second-year quarterback. Offensive line's getting old and injured. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. It really comes down to this week's draft.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we record the podcast before the draft, so we don't have.
So we're sitting on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll hit you next week with all the recap of the draft action.
But the schedule. What do you think? 8-8 is that what you had thought going into
it? Yeah. You know what's funny is like it's exactly what I expected, and yet I'm still disappointed.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know what's going to happen is like last year after we started 3-0. I'm like, they could easily go 10-6 because we started 3-0. You're like, oh, look, they can go 7-6 to finish the season.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, okay, come on. You jumped on the bandwagon.
I didn't call double digits.
I started the bandwagon, but you were definitely.
I did not call double digits.
You had a foot on and a foot off. You were ready to jump in either direction.
I said the worst I got was I thought they would finish with a winning record. I thought they'd go 9-7, but I never said double digits.
Come on, 3-0. How many 3-0 teams don't finish with double digits?
All of them, Philadelphia.
Oh, probably. Probably. You go back through the history, probably. But last year, at one point, I thought 10-6. This year, I'm saying 8-8, which means that they're going to go 12-4.
Yeah, or
and
4
make
and
the playoffs.
12.
Yeah, or 4-12. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, yeah, at least we get a high draft pick.
My logic.
Wait,
it's playoffs or bust.
So let's go back to your. For those that don't know, this has been Mike's, like, key theme.
This is the worst possible outcome is if they go 8-8 because it means that you neither have a chance at winning anything and you don't have a good draft pick.
Yeah.
You simply exist as a football team.
So would you rather the Eagles go like 4-12?
I mean, from a fan's perspective, you never want them to go 4-12 because I like to enjoy the football that I watch.
How about 1-15?
Luckily, we've never had to live through a 1-15 season in our lifetimes.
Browns, like, yeah.
Yeah, if I lived in Cleveland, I probably wouldn't be a football fan. Or I'd, like, root for another team. Probably the Patriots. If I lived in Cleveland, I would be a Patriots fan.
Of course you would.
I'm basically a Patriots fan.
You basically are.
Not really.
Just declare your allegiance right now.
Something, 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 dark side.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a Patriots fan. I appreciate the way they approach the strategy and the business of the game.
I will have to tip my hat to this. I love the fact Bill Belichick just doesn't need the draft.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he traded away all of New England's original draft picks.
Yeah, I think the first they draft now is like in like 90-something, right?
Yeah, but But the ones they were supposed to get, like at pick at the last pick in each round because they won the Super Bowl.
They traded all
of them because they don't give a F. They're just like, sure.
When you're as good as the Patriots, look, they find success in the late rounds, unlike any other team. So, and the other thing is they're using those picks. They're basically saying, we can either trade this pick for a guaranteed successful player, or we can use this pick. They're just using them to trade for successful players, and they're doing well with that strategy.
How about this? If everybody is with us and hates the Patriots, how about nobody does business with the Patriots? Because if the Patriots want something from you, there's something up Bill Belichick's sleeve.
Yeah. Well, look at all the Eagles castaways they signed.
Yeah. Can we sign like a 31-team alliance? Nobody trade with the Patriots.
They'll probably still win.
And they'll still win. God,
they'll still win.
Damn it!
They'll have like 10 seventh-round picks and they'll win a Super Bowl. But that's what I like about the Patriots is they just have that uncanny ability to just say, screw it, we're going to do whatever we want, we're going to win anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you have to admire
deflate
that.
Deflate gate, lose a first-round pick, so what?
It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. Every time there's a controversy, they're like, okay, we'll just come back and we'll just win a Super
Bowl. Spygate, we lost the third-round pick. All right, fine. Like, what?
The NFL should learn by now. Don't penalize them. Give them more stuff.
Yeah, because that's when they start getting cocky and they lose games.
Exactly,
Like when they had the undefeated season.
Yep.
Everyone was hyping them, and then they lose to the Giants.
That's the NFL should start them off. They should,
let's give the Patriots the easiest schedule.
Yeah.
So they go 16-0 again.
And they lose.
And they lose in the playoffs.
That's what you do.
All right, let's go.
I really do think they are, you know, I like them, but they are the dark side because they feed on that hate and that anger.
We need to call Roger Goodell up. We found the weakness.
I got him. I'll text him. I got him in my phone. Roger.
Yes. Call him up right now.
Roger. Hey, Raj.
the Raj.
Raj. The Raj. What's up, Raj? I got a cool idea.
Yeah. You really want to take down the Patriots? Here's how we're going to do it. They play the Browns 16 times in a row.
And the Browns are like, come on. What did we do to deserve this? Poor Browns.
You know what's funny is I think the Browns would prefer that as opposed to facing off against the Steelers twice because they absolutely hate losing to the Steelers.
Oh,
I know that.
Yeah.
That's like they would rather lose to the Patriots 16 times.
At least then you're not losing to a division team. One team that's like so, you know, close to you, and yeah.
Yeah.
It would just be better for all parties involved.
Yes. So we're solving two problems here.
That's what we are. We're problem solvers.
Yep. We're going to finally defeat the Patriots, and we're going to make the Browns feel slightly better about themselves when they finish with the league's worst record and the number one overall pick. And yet they'll still mess up the number one overall pick.
They're going to draft a quarterback. Telling you.
Yeah.
They're going to trade up to draft a quarterback.
But there you go. Our schedule preview and just general hatred of the Patriots. Oh, God.
Your hatred, my slight admiration, and willingness to accept them as the football overlords.
Okay. Yeah, they are the evil empire.
They are.
So go ahead. Obey Emperor Belichick in the break. Why not? But in the meantime, we'll take a break. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, we've got the entertainment entree and then the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. We've got some interesting stories coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is gun rack? No time. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide!
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like, what has 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 could buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker form.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents.
Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I gotta hear more about these hooker farms.
I know, right?
We need to know more about
these hooker farms. It's good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado Esiodo Kamotikadio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you're mixing
Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hookah farm, come here. Banzai, Daniel-san. Banzai. He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on or wax off?
Up, down. In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel-san,
out,
remember
in,
when
out.
I told you, paint the fence. And then the sand, the floor.
Yeah, you're the best
around. Nothing I'm gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, a little appetizer for you.
Yum.
Yeah, was it good?
Delicious. Yeah. Yes, it's perfect just to whet the appetite.
Yes. And that's important because we have a main course, if you will, coming up next here on the podcast. The second course in this three-course meal for your mind. We call it the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Alex Jones has been out on vacation. So in its replacement, we have the brave Tuck Buckford.
Welcome back to Brain Fight, sovereign citizens of the Brain Nation. Old Tuck's riled up today. Okay, my ex-wife thinks she can conspire with the government to divorce me and take my children, but I'm fighting back with my brain fist, okay? Because my mind is a weapon and my skull's a cage for your protection, all right? For everyone's protection, because I've got power, okay? I'm a father. I have male vitality. My children flew out my penis like a flame of love, and they were made, and now I love them like they were a fire of my own mind. Now they want to take them away just because I can't remember a few minor details, like how many of the children are there, or what their names are, if those children are my children. They look like my children. Hell, they were in my yard, okay? They know the rules. First time the Frisbee lands in my yard, Frisbee's mine. Second time, you're mine, okay? And I can't remember stuff, all these details about these kids that may or may not be mine because my brain signals are getting all scrambled up by the chili, okay? The serpents at FEMA, okay? The whore of FEMALON is packing hormones in my Hormel, okay? That's where the name comes from, Hormelomones, okay? But it's just so God done good, all right? I love chili, all right? It's God's food. I love this chili as much as I love my kids. Little Red Bean Man and Meat Chunk Jr. and Smokey Paprika, my daughter.
All right, and there you go. That's the end of Tuck Buckford, his brief stint.
Was that?
As Alex Jones's replacement.
It sounded like Stephen Colbert.
Yes, it was. Stephen Colbert did a whole parody on Alex Jones, and it was just brilliant.
That was amazing.
Yes.
He nailed it.
Yeah.
The impression of Alex Jones.
So this part is true, though. Alex Jones has been away from his radio station InfoWars because he's actually in court trying to fight for custody for his children.
He is.
Which is ironic because apparently his lawyer is using the argument that he is playing a character on his radio show.
There's
similar to how Colbert did when he did the Colbert Report.
No. There's no way. No.
Yeah.
Because Colbert does it tongue-in-cheek, ironic, you know, he's sort of... No. You just... No. You can tell from the tone of it that it's not an act.
Yeah.
And that's
he's
the scariest
way too serious.
Part. Yeah.
Like...
So here's the thing. Alex Jones, like, posts video to Facebook, you know, spur of the moment, like...
He's had Donald Trump, like, call him up for serious interviews.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Like
before he was president.
Right. So I don't know. The more you think about this parody, the more it just seems like a circular loop of logic.
Yeah.
Cause it's like Stephen Colbert is now making fun of Alex Jones,
who
now is using the Stephen Colbert defense to try and fight for custody of his children. But is he really trying to pull a Colbert? No, he's not. I don't know. It's just funny. Try and diagram that as like a thought process. It's messed up.
Yeah.
It looks like a football because you got to go like backwards.
Right.
And then underneath.
Yeah. Back and forth.
Back
yeah.
and forth. It's weird. It's weird. And I don't trust it.
It's weird. And I don't trust it. Are you a producer for Alex Jones?
I might be by the end of all this.
It's weird and I don't trust it.
Yes, it's either that or I'm an old man. That's those are the two options.
In my America, cyan wasn't a color. I'm trying to think of like something like scary and different.
Well, there you go. Tuck Buckford.
I love that name.
Yeah, has his short-lived stint on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But I have a feeling that this isn't going to last. I think Alex Jones will be back to InfoWars and...
Yeah.
Creating unique sound clips for all of us to hear and use on podcasts all over the country.
Ah, oh, he gives us such wonderful gifts.
Yeah. But now let's move on to the next portion of the entertainment entree. This is the part where Mike lets you know what's going on in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I love this chili as much as I love my kids.
All right, there you go. Loving chili as much as your kids. What do you have, Mike?
Well, this week, maybe everyone will love this new movie coming out as much as their kids. The Circle is hitting theaters this week. It's a new sci-fi drama starring, it's got a great cast, starring Tom Hanks, Emma Watson, and John Boyega, of course, the star of the latest Star Wars film. It sounds like a really interesting premise. The basic concept is The Circle is a gripping modern thriller in which May, played by Emma Watson, is hired to work for the world's largest and most powerful tech and social media company, which she sees as an opportunity of a lifetime. As she rises through the ranks, she is encouraged by the company's founder,
Eamon Bailey, played by Tom Hanks, to engage in a groundbreaking experiment that pushes the boundaries of privacy, ethics, and ultimately her personal freedom. Her participation in the experiment and every decision she makes begins to affect the lives and future of her friends, family, and that of humanity. Huge stakes for Emma Watson in this movie. If you've seen trailers for it, it has a very TED Talk vibe to it, this company that she's working for. And, of course, it touches on those issues that, you know, everyone has at the forefront of their minds in the 21st century in terms of information privacy and the oversharing of social media. So if you're looking for a little bit of thought-provoking commentary about 21st century technology in your sci-fi dramas, this is a movie for you. The Circle is coming out this week in theaters. In TV, we have a really hot ticket item right here. American Gods is coming to Stars. It's based on the Neil Gaiman book series. It's just one book. By the same name, it features a story that blends fantasy with the modern age, envisioning new 21st century gods reflecting the trappings and obsessions of modern Americans. So they have gods based on things, again, very tech-focused, gods of technology and social media. You seem to... There's a theme here with a lot of the media coming out this week between American Gods and The Circle. But one that breaks that theme is this new video game coming to PlayStation 4 and PC. What Remains of Edith Finch is coming out this week. And this one sounds very, very interesting. It is a narrative adventure game by the studio who created The White Swan in a series of short stories. A young woman travels back to her family home to uncover the mysteries of her family and their untimely demises. She does this by exploring the rundown house filled with puzzles and secrets. It plays out in a series of vignettes. It's been getting a lot of praise so far, with many of the bigger media outlets online giving it 8 and 9s out of 10. They always seem to praise the story and the pacing of it, and the narrative and emotional weight that you get at the conclusion of the story of seeing all these individual vignettes play out. So if you're looking for a more solemn, slower paced game that will make you think and test your imagination and creativity, go check out What Remains of Edith Finch, coming to PlayStation 4 and PC this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment, letting us know what's new in movies, TV, and video games. All right, usually we have like a serious topic to you know, really delve into this week in entertainment. But we came across this clip. This is a news clip, and it sounds like it would be something for Odd News. But because this is a news clip, I think we have, and because it also reminds us of one of our favorite cartoon characters, I think we have to save it for entertainment entree. What's the story behind the sound behind this news sound clip?
So the story is very simple. There was a crash with bees involved, and
yeah, of course. What good story doesn't have bees in it, you know?
Every good story has bees in it.
Right, at this rate.
But it was what happened after the crash that's so noteworthy. A local Kentucky news agency interviewed some people about the crash, and people found this immediately entertaining and endearing. It's recently...
Bees! Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
Is that the clip?
That's the clip, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
that?
That's basically exactly how the news story goes.
Was that it?
That's it. No, that's not it.
No, that's from Tommy Boy.
This clip, though, recently resurfaced on Reddit as people have been viewing it and sharing it. Just this funny interview with a man who bore witness to the amazing bee attack in Kentucky. So without further ado, I'd like the eyewitness to speak for himself. I think we should play the clip.
All right. This is Mike's idea. Let's hear the clip.
Crashing a car was bad enough, but investigators say it led to two people inside that car being attacked by bees. It happened last night on Patton Spur Road in Laurel County. Police say a car hit a utility pole and bothered a hive of bees nearby. New tonight, Garrett Weimer talks to someone who lives in that area who saw it all happen.
Well, I just had got done feeding my chickens, watering them and stuff, and I walked back to my house there to get my phone so I could play a video game on it. And all of a sudden, I heard a big boom. I looked back out my door, and an electric pole fell, and the lines was falling, and the geotackler's sideways into the fence. And there's a guy come out screaming and squalling and running around about like a chicken with head cut off. But I told him he needed to get out of that water, but say I didn't know he was getting eat up by bees. I thought he was just high. That girl in that little bikini, she had a little red dot thought over here.
Right Even here, Gary Lee right got here. Stung while he was out there. Needless to say, investigators call it an unusual case, but everyone around here hopes the two learned a serious lesson.
Think they learned their lesson?
I'd say by today they are. If I feel like my leg feels, I'd say they're learning.
All right, I didn't understand the last two sentences, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, he was kind of, it was kind of hard to understand him.
Yeah.
Boy, slow news day in Kentucky when when this story broke, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I was playing, trying to play those video games right there and, you know, down with my lip nut. It was trying to bounce off the floor, but it wasn't working.
What was that? Like, I think I understood you less than the guy in the interview.
I think it's the same amount.
I think it's about equal.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that was pretty rough. I think he mentioned at one point that he went to go back and get his phone to play games on it.
Yeah.
I just love how honest he is.
Well, I'll tell you what. The reason why I think this fits Entertainment Entree is because this sounds like one of my favorite cartoon characters. This sounds exactly like Boomhauer, as far as I'm concerned, from King of the Hill. So here's Boomhauer.
That man is 911. I need to hear the Megalomart man go dig boom, man, there's a fire in there. And it don't that gum that come out everywhere, man. I don't know if Saul Nick man would run out there. I don't know if he dig Chuck Man Jones gonna be coming down here.
Sir, you are going to have to speak more slowly. I cannot understand you.
Dang old Megalomart. That talk about them all that it boom.
Yep, so
should we listen to this guy again for comparison?
Yeah. Let's Ready? Do a compare Here and contrast.
Go. Here's a comparison.
Well, I just had got done feeding my chickens, watering them and stuff, and I walked back to my house there to get my phone so I could play a video game on it.
That man is 911. I need to hear the Megalomart man go dig boom, man, there's a fire today. And it don't that gum that come out everywhere, man. I don't know.
I think it's
a pretty spot on impression.
Yeah, I think it's pretty damn close.
Should we listen to this guy again one more time?
Yeah, play Ready? It again.
Come out screaming and squalling and running around about like a chicken with head cut off.
It's a fire day, and it don't that gum that come out everywhere, man. I don't know if Saul Nick man would run out there. I don't know if he dig Chuck Man Jones gonna be come down here.
Sir.
I don't know. I think it's pretty much spot on.
This guy may have played Boomhauer in King
this
of
is,
the Hill.
This is the real life Boomhauer.
This is the, yeah. He's the voice actor. I think.
I think he's the
or he's the real life. He's the inspiration.
He's the inspiration yeah. for the Boomhauer.
If
character.
Only King of the Hill was set in Kentucky, it would be perfect.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, I mean, I love them both. I love Boomhauer. I love whoever this guy is. I don't remember his name.
But there you go. We found the real life Boomhauer, and he lives in Kentucky. So props to that guy.
Yes.
All right. Let's move into more serious entertainment entree news.
What? That wasn't serious?
Actually, yeah. That should be like breaking news.
That
yeah.
is breaking news right there.
I need to hear the Megalomart man go dig boom, man, there's a fire day. And it don't that gum that come out everywhere, man. I don't know if Saul Nick man would run out there. I don't know if he dig Chuck Man Jones gonna be come down here.
Sir, you are going to have to speak more slowly. I cannot understand you.
Dang old Megalomart. And talk about them all. That it boom.
There you
go. That was our field reporter, Boomhauer, with the late breaking news. And now over to Karen with weather.
It gonna be hot. Thanks, Karen.
Now over to Gil with traffic. It gonna be crowded. Oh, man. You know what? I really, really want to see like a video of Boomhauer doing the news now.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
the whole
so
news
funny.
In like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Chuck Mangione.
Yeah. So there you go.
I love how he says Chuck Mangione. Did you pick up on that in the clip?
Oh my god.
Anyway,
let's move on to more serious news topics. And that has to do with a couple of Lucasfilm properties. The first one, this one is kind of obvious. We all knew this one was coming. Disney has released that Star Wars Episode 9 is confirmed for a release on May 24th, 2019. So they are sticking firm to the main episodic content every 2 years.
Hey, that works for me.
Yeah. The Force Awakens was 2015, end of 2015. Episode 8 is going to be this year, Christmas.
Yep.
And following the trend, this will be May 2019 for Episode 9. So
slightly faster turnaround
than
the other movies. Does that worry you at all, that it's only a year and a half instead of 2 full years?
No.
Did they do filming at the same time?
I think they might have done filming right immediately back to back, which is common.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Back to the Future, the trilogy for Back to the Future was shot like that.
One of the most famous trilogies to shoot back to back to back, of course, is your favorite trilogy of all time, The Lord of the Rings.
What?
Well, just nothing. Just nothing. No, but Lord of the Rings shot back to back to back.
Okay.
And that's why they were able to release in the holiday season in, you know, consecutive years, which you never see that in film.
Yeah, not yeah,
a movie.
Very rare.
A trilogy released at the same month. You know, year to year.
Yeah.
But I like the quick turnaround. As long as it can maintain the quality, give me as much Star Wars as fast as possible.
Yeah.
The only thing that I have a problem with in terms of the release date, I think you know what I'm going to say. They couldn't expedite it 20 days faster to get it out on May 4th.
I mean, really, you want to do the fans a service, it should be May the 4th. Yeah. Right on Star Wars Day.
Yeah. Why? Why?
You're right there.
I know.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Yeah,
especially if they're shooting back to back. You're telling me you can't pull in an extra few hundred digital editors to push this movie out 20
you're right
days
there.
It's so
Star
close.
Wars Day, May 4th.
I know. I feel like they whiffed big time on this.
Yeah,
but what are you gonna do? Anyway, the other big release.
All right, now the second piece of news from Disney and its Lucasfilm properties is a little bit more of a head scratcher as far as I'm concerned. But they have also announced, in addition to Star Wars Episode 9, the confirmation that they are going to do an Indiana Jones 5 film, and Harrison Ford is going to return as Indiana Jones. I don't know. Personally, I just feel like it's not needed.
Not at all.
The fourth film wasn't really needed.
No. I know a few people who like the fourth film. I am not one of those people. I thought it was very lackluster. I thought it was weird. Indiana Jones has never been about the supernatural. It's been about mythology and legends, but not about the paranormal with aliens, and that was a step too far for me in the Indiana Jones universe.
I believe the logic was... The logic behind that... Yeah.
Don't try and logic it. What's your argument going to be?
It was something that, like, if you match 20 years from the original Indiana Jones trilogy, the big conspiracy theory at the time was aliens.
Okay,
so
I guess.
So it was trying to match in step with what the popular conspiracy theory would have been in the timeline.
And you're telling me the popular conspiracy theory in World War II was the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes!
And whatever the hell the second movie was about.
Because, you know the Nazis, man. They know their Old Testament Bible. Yeah.
Hitler was going after the Holy Grail himself.
Yes.
I don't buy the logic. I don't buy the logic because there is no logic in the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, there's Shia LaBeouf.
The only thing tying together the other three is the idea of this archaeologist hunting down these legendary artifacts. And in the fourth one, it wasn't a legendary artifact. It was a new artifact, this crystal skull thing, and it led to aliens. And it was, It was just weird.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
It didn't fit the tone of the previous Indiana Jones film. Harrison Ford is so old in the fourth one. He's even older now. You know, he basically died making Star Wars 7, which is ironic because, spoiler alert. But anyway.
Oh, that's right. You're talking about the set coming down on his leg.
Yeah,
that's right. They had to stop filming for that. Yeah, you're right.
He crashed his airplane. I think
his nine lives are up.
I think Harrison Ford is actually trying to kill himself.
Just so he doesn't have to do another Indiana Jones movie.
He rigged the door of the Millennium Falcon to fall on him so he could get out of filming. He crashed his airplane. And now he's taking on an Indiana Jones role again.
He was trying to kill himself before this would happen.
Yeah, he just couldn't succeed.
No. Shame.
Are you looking forward to Indiana Jones 5 at all? So here's the trick. I mean, we're both Indiana Jones fans.
Yeah.
Are you going to see the movie in theaters?
I mean,
like,
yeah,
I'm stuck. Yeah.
It's like you have to go see it just to see
how bad it is.
Right.
On the off chance it might be good.
Right.
Maybe Indiana Jones is like, you know, it's finally time to hang up the hat and the whip. And you're like, oh, no, this is going to be a touching personal story. And then he goes and he finds, like, the missing cookie of Alcatraz or something.
Then he finds,
like that.
Then he joins up with Alex Jones.
Oh, God. And he finds Barack Obama's secret bunker under Washington, D.C. And all those chemicals they're putting in the frogs. That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's
Indiana
Jones.
Jones and the story of the chemtrails.
Yes. I tell you what, Indy, these drugs are going to get the American people. We have to stop them now. The fire is in me. We have to go stop them now.
You're going to lose your voice.
Yeah, I am. I can't do Alex Jones too long. But
only Alex Jones can do Alex Jones.
Right. I think that's going to be Indiana Jones 5. Alex Jones.
Alex
Jones. No, Indiana Jones 5. InfoWars.
Indiana Alex Jones. Right?
There you go. It's right
Indiana
there.
Jones, Alex Jones, right?
I think there you go. I think that's the home run right there. But as it stands right now, the only thing we know about Indiana Jones 5 from Disney and Lucasfilm is that it is confirmed for a July 10th, 2020 release. And that Spielberg is returning to direct, and Harrison Ford is slated to return as Indiana Jones. So
Harrison Ford is 74 years old.
Yeah.
There is no way he's doing... It's going to... I don't agree.
He can't do the actions. He probably shouldn't be doing as many action scenes.
No. He's going to try. Because wasn't he always the type to like do his own stunts and everything? I think for the most part,
yeah,
he did his own stunts. He's too old. Like in episode 7, you could tell that he was just like missing a step. You know?
Well, he's just old. That's just age. You can't do anything about it.
I'm not blaming him. I mean, like, he's getting old. There's nothing you can really do about it. But
of course he's not going to be able to run as fast as, you know, he used to. And
it's just going to look awkward with, like, this 76-year-old, like, hobbling away from rolling boulders.
Give me a minute.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah. A little bit concerned.
I'm kind of ticked at the entire idea. I'm probably going to go see it, though, to be honest.
I also think it's a little bit of a sleight of hand by Disney to try and just tie this conveniently in with Star Wars. Personally,
how to tie it in with Star Wars?
Like, hey, everyone's looking forward to Star Wars Episode 9.
Oh, you mean the announcement?
And then, oh, yeah. By the way, Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah,
what?
They just sneak it in there,
right? Like. I don't know. I think that's a little shady, sleight of hand kind of trick, isn't it?
It is a little bit. It's Star Wars and Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah. Like, yeah, oh, we totally forgot about that. You guys wanted to do Indiana Jones 5. Great. Yeah. Yay. Woo.
Milk it.
Yeah.
Milk that cash cow.
Before Ford dies.
And then Indiana Jones 6, The Quest for More Cash.
That's Spaceballs 2.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones 6, Spaceballs 2.
Spaceballs 2. Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones 6, Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Cash.
Yes. I would respect that more than I would.
What a crazy crossover.
Yeah. That would be great.
I like it. Do that, Disney.
Yeah. All right. One more brief entertainment headline to hit you with before we wrap up the entertainment entree. And that is happy birthday to Al Pacino!
Hoo-ah!
There we go. Hoo-ah. Yeah.
Just a single hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah, man. What other clip sums up Al Pacino?
Hoo-ah.
I don't think two words could more appropriately summarize an entire person than hoo-ah and Al Pacino. I almost forgot his name for a second.
Don't you dare forget his name. the man, the myth, the legend turned 77 this week. And I think we've all established the fact that I love Al Pacino movies. I think he's one of the best actors in
this
the business.
This is news to me. What do you mean you like Al Pacino?
I hope it isn't, because we've been doing this podcast for 4 years, and I always go out of my way to celebrate his birthday.
Before the episode, Rich wanted to devote an entire, like, half-hour segment to Al Pacino.
Because I could talk about Al Pacino.
You could just do a whole new podcast on your own, just the Al Pacino Hour.
Yes.
Just talk about every week, Al Pacino for an hour.
How amazing Al Pacino is. Yes.
And you would start at the day of his birth. On this day, Al Pacino was born. And you'd give the whole story. His mother pushed and pushed. You know?
Okay, I don't think I'd be that graphic. But I know he was born in New York City. And
and you're giving me the biography?
And ironically, his nickname was actually going to be Sonny, which is funny because he was competing with James Caan, and they wanted James Caan to be right. Sonny in The Godfather. I always thought that was a little... funny.
And Al Pacino got Michael Corleone.
Right. Well, they wanted the movie studios wanted Khan to be Michael, but
oh, really?
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's actually old test footage
with the
of
roles
James.
Flipped?
Yeah. Of well, they didn't want Al Pacino at all because he was a no name nobody at the time.
Right.
But they do have footage of James Khan being Michael, and it's just. Unsettling.
So how did Al Pacino get the role of Michael Corleone then?
Coppola. He loved him right from the get-go.
Really?
Yes.
The movie studio didn't want him, though.
Right. Exactly.
So it goes to show you don't listen to the studio.
Well, unfortunately.
Could you imagine?
I feel like that's not the way the current Hollywood system
is.
Well,
we just talked about Indiana Jones 5, so you know that's not the way the industry is.
You are absolutely right. Oh, God. My voice is going to go by the end of this.
Well, let's not do that.
Al Pacino, happy birthday to you, good sir. He is 77. I highly recommend pretty much any movie that he's in. My favorites off the top of my head, and Justice for All, Heat,
The Godfather?
Yeah, obviously The Godfather.
Well,
I mean that's obvious. I was trying to go
You're trying to go for, like, deep cuts or whatever.
Yeah, deep cuts. Deep cut, Al Pacino. Yeah, I don't know. Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's a good one.
That's absolutely one of my favorite movies.
That's a good one.
Scarface.
Another classic.
Oh, Devil's Advocate always gets looked over.
I've actually never seen that one.
Gotta
I guess
check
I'm
that
one of those
out.
People who's overlooked it.
Gotta check that one out.
I've never seen Heat either.
Oh, Carlito's Way, too. That's a good one,
I've never seen
too.
That one either.
That's oh man, there's so many good ones. I'm telling you,
I've missed
guys.
A lot of Al Pacino movies.
Take a look, all right?
And Godfather Part Two, of course, a little known film,
very
and,
little,
an indie flick.
Yeah, at this rate, very indie film. But as far as I'm concerned, one of the best Hollywood stars in the business. All right, Mike. I know I've been torturing you with the Al Pacino.
I like Pacino.
But I figured to end it on a note that you would like.
Okay.
Here's something that I always love. The actor on The Walking Dead, Ross Marquand.
The curly-headed explorer, gay explorer guy.
That's a terrible way to describe him.
That's what he is, though.
Yeah. Well, here's something that I think you would like. Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead is really good at impressions.
Okay.
And on one episode of The Talking Dead... they asked him to do an impression of how Al Pacino would have played Rick Grimes.
Okay.
And I think you'll like it. So here you go. Quick clip. Al Pacino as Rick in Walking Dead.
Where Kip Pacino is Rick.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. You guys. Over there. Alexandria's here. Hilltop over there. There's going to be separation. Yeah. Love it. Good.
Perfect.
There you go. Yeah. And done. Walking Dead is finished.
That's great. That's amazing.
You guys over there.
Al Pacino would never be able to live in that universe because he would like kill a zombie and be like, hoo-ah!
And then five more zombies show up.
He's like, hoo-ah, 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 just every time he kills someone.
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah!
And right there, an army of zombies show up.
There you go.
He can't stop screaming. He's enjoying himself too much.
I found out who Ross Marquand plays in The Walking Dead. It's Aaron.
Aaron, thank you.
Couldn't there remember his name.
So I thought you would like that to close out our little
opportunity. I kind of want to see that now. The Walking Dead should shoot like a small parody of Ross Marquand doing Al Pacino as Rick Grimes.
Yes.
Do you think that would make great promotional material?
Yes.
I don't know for what reason. I mean,
internet.
Just internet.
Yeah. People do anything for the internet, so yeah, why not?
The marketing team is like, why are we even doing this? And they just go, internet.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
There you go.
Approved.
Done. So I would be in favor of that. But to go back to our main topic for this part, it was for Al Pacino, his birthday. Happy birthday. One of my favorite actors, Al Pacino, 77 years young. Love the man, the myth, the legend, the hoo-ah himself. But there you go. That will wrap up the entertainment entree. Don't you just love Al Pacino?
I do. I love him so much. The hoo-ah himself.
That's right. Mr. Who on Cell. But there you go. That'll wrap up the entertainment entree. Don't go anywhere, though. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, I've got your batch of odd news. I've got a couple interesting stories that you need to hear. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A real estate broker is in big trouble after she stole a taxi cab and drove drunk through the streets of New York City in the early morning.
Nice.
27-year-old Kinga Tabarez was arrested Friday morning after officers found her behind the wheel of a yellow Toyota taxi. Police said that the taxi was pulled over and Tabarez was vomiting out the window. The incident began a short time earlier when Tabarez and a friend got into the cab. When Tabarez allegedly refused to pay the cab fare, the driver decided to make a stop at a police station to help resolve the situation. Tabarez got in the driver's seat and drove away with his taxi cab.
Why wouldn't he take the keys?
Yeah.
He just leaves it running, just leaps out. I'll be right back. Don't touch the car.
Assuming direct control.
And she turned into a Reaper, apparently.
Her eyes just
glow red. Assuming direct control.
No driver.
Assuming direct control.
Officers approached the taxi, noticed barf on the ground, and said Tabarez smelled strongly of alcohol and had watery, bloodshot eyes. She was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where she reportedly refused a breathalyzer test. I wonder why.
I mean, did they really need a breathalyzer? She's got vomit all over the place.
She was released from the hospital and then charged with grand larceny, unauthorized use of a taxicab vehicle, and DWI. But guess what? She claims that, quote, the story is completely false.
Oh, God.
And that she plans to fight this in court.
What's her defense going to be?
I know. She turned into a Reaper.
Assuming direct control.
It wasn't me.
Your Honor, I'll have you know, I'm 25% collector. And when Harbinger takes over my body and I glow yellow and shoot up into the sky, I can't be responsible for my actions.
My eyes matched the color of the taxi cab, and I had to take it for a ride.
Assuming direct control.
Not my fault.
I mean, she could definitely get off on an insanity plea right there if she went with that one.
I don't know. I hope she listens to this podcast, because I think we just provided an actual...
The Reaper defense.
Legal...
The Reaper.
The Reaper. It's actually like something used
Look,
in
law
in
textbooks,
law
in law textbooks in the year 2153...
They're going to cite
the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yeah, I can see somebody giving a presentation. You know, according to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, they came up with the groundbreaking Reaper defense, which has been used in numerous cases throughout history.
Assuming direct control.
Hashtag Reaper defense. Let us
Hashtag
know.
Hashtag Reaper defense.
Let us know how logical that could be in a court of law.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
We'll be right back.
yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Two delicious parts of the show in your bellies.
Just nestled in there.
Yep.
Digesting.
But I hope you save some room.
There's always room left for this segment, Rich.
That's right.
It's time for one of my favorites. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news time.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And for those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before. That means that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started on the journey of odd news, Rich. What do you got for us?
All right. I know this first story you're going to love, Mike. Okay. I already know right off the bat.
All right.
This first story takes place in New York State.
Okay.
And has some Seinfeld references because the criminal in charge in the criminal charge in this odd news story is actually named Newman.
Oh, I know the chunky that left these chunkies. Newman!
Oh, yeah. It is a guy named Newman. New York Attorney General. And
is he like the character in Seinfeld?
New York Attorney General and apparent Seinfeld fan Eric Schneiderman announced the indictment of an alleged fraudulent architect named Newman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is a real story.
There's a few references right there.
Paul J. Newman, who claims to be the president of Cohesion Studios Incorporated, is accused of pretending to be a registered architect and collecting nearly $200,000 for rendering services since 2010.
Wow.
Yeah, so he faked it till he made it a pretty long time here.
How did he get away with that for so long? Like, oh, just giving me money. And what did he give people in return?
He rendered architectural renderings for services of townhouses, senior living communities, and apartment complexes.
So was he actually doing work, or was he just like copy-pasting like blueprints from online?
He might have been. The point is he wasn't trained to do so.
Right.
So however he did it, he wasn't actually trained in the art of actually being an architect. He was like George Costanza.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So the investigation, which Schneiderman actually titled Operation Vandalay Industries.
Yellow. What delay industries?
No.
Well, yeah, that's the right number, but this is an apartment.
No,
what?
Vandalay!
Yeah, you're supposed to say Vandalay Industries.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's the actual, like, legal police title of the investigation. Operation Vandalay Industries.
Nice.
Well, Operation Vandalay Industries investigation found that Newman's firm was illegally contracted to provide these architectural renderings and services. Schneiderman said in an official statement, quote, by allegedly falsifying building plans, code compliance inspections, and field reports, the defendant jeopardized the safety of those who resided in and frequented the buildings that he was contracted to work on. If convicted of these charges, Newman faces 5 to 15 years in prison. Altogether, it's 58 counts of larceny, forgery, fraud, and unlicensed practice of architecture, which is an actual crime on its own.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was his own crime.
So actually what George Costanza did was actually a crime in New York State.
Wow. Well, they are terrible people. We know that from the final episode where they do end up getting arrested, not for architectural fraud.
No, but that is an actual crime in New York State, unlicensed practice of architecture.
So George Costanza is a criminal.
Yeah.
Here I thought he was just a fun-loving guy, but he's not. He's a hardened criminal rendering false services.
For Vandalay Industries.
Yellow. What delay industries?
No.
Vandalay! Say Vandalay! Now you're way, way, way off. Well, yeah, that's the right number, but this is an apartment.
No,
what?
Vandalay!
Say Vandalay!
I just like the fact that, like, on record, like, on police records, if, I don't know, for some odd reason, if this case ever actually has to, like, come up or reappear in court or, like, you know, use it as a reference, it's actually going to be titled Operation Vandalay Industries, you know?
I love it. It's great. They have a sense of humor. You know, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, you got to have some fun at your job. So
it would have been great if he had thrown some, like, Seinfeld quotes in there, too, but I guess that's asking too much.
Sir, this is like talking to a judge or something. Sir, back in the case of Operation Vandalay Industries, we were allowed to go head-to-toe against fraudulent architects. And I demand that the same power be used against George Costanza.
Are they trying a fictional character now?
I don't know.
Just in case.
I just think it's funny that that's actually like the legal...
What was it? Vandalay Industries?
Operation Vandalay Industries.
Nice.
So, there you go. It's actually on record now in New York State.
In court, did they go, Newman?
Yeah, right? They should have done. Yeah, should have gone.
I really hope they did.
That's the way they should have done.
Oh, I know the chunky that left these chunkies. Newman!
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next story here. We're going to South Dakota. I don't know. Maybe we probably have done a story. It's been a while.
We've done like 1,000 of these, so we had to have gone to South Dakota at one point. Not that I can remember. South Dakota the one with Mount Rushmore? Or is that North Dakota?
I think that's North Dakota.
It's one of the Dakotas.
One of the Dakotas. Why are there two Dakotas?
Did we really need two Dakotas?
Yeah. All right.
When they were naming the states, they're like, we need two of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mount Rushmore's in South Dakota.
Okay.
I figured it out.
All right. Well, let's get to the story here. Has to do with a fire in an apartment building. And, you know, when stuff like this happens, you tend to have these heroes, you know, that really step up to the plate and they, you know, they do the unthinkable and they exceed expectations.
Right.
Usually it's for a loved one, a pet.
Of course.
Maybe an item of some personal significance.
Right, like a memento that is just irreplaceable and priceless.
Well, this South Dakota man did this heroic deed, not for any of those items, but this South Dakota man ran into a burning building, pushed police officers and firefighters down so he could save his beer collection. What a hero.
A true American hero.
Needs to save the beer.
When you say beer collection, what do you mean beer collection? Like assorted bottles of different types of beer?
56-year-old Michael Castile was collared outside his home As emergency workers were treating other building residents for injuries, Castell cops say tried to re-enter the building to retrieve his beer selection from his apartment. Very noble here. Cartel succeeded. He was seen running out of the building with cases of Bud Ice Premium.
Come on!
that's his beer collection.
Oh, that... You know what? They should give him...
Hey, this is Bud Ice Premium.
Right, premium, of course.
Very important.
The premium is what sets it apart. They should give him a sponsorship deal. Because it's like, it's so good, he's willing to die for it. Right? Don't you think they should do that?
Upon exiting the building with his beer selection in his hand, Castell was then arrested. Police described his devotions to Suds as poor judgment. The official charge that he gets is obstructing a firefighter or law enforcement official.
Okay. Well, yeah, because he pushed him out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. So
remember, George Costanza pushed somebody out of the way when he was trying to escape the fire. Going back to the Seinfeld thing.
According to state records, Castile was also arrested last month for drunk driving and other misdemeanor charges. So, unfortunately...
A person willing to run back into a burning building has been charged with drunk driving. Why do I find that not hard to believe?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't think this is going to be a simple misdemeanor. I think he's going to have some charges coming his way.
Now, Rich, I know you like a drink every once in a while. Would you run back into a burning building for some beer?
No, because I can get beer at any other place.
Yeah. Why would you run back into a burning building?
It wasn't even good beer. It was Bud Ice Premium. Like, come on. Really?
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, maybe if it was, like, some really expensive, like, imported, like, foreign specialty, you know, beer made from, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some weird, like, extinct fruit or something.
Or, like, gold label Johnny Walker, you know, some really expensive.
Right.
Liquor.
But even then, that's a stretch, you know? I mean, your house is burning down. You're like, oh, I better go get my beer.
Yeah.
Like...
Now, what would be really hilarious if he had, like, a wife or something and was like, I'll leave her there.
He leaves. She's like banging on the door. Help me.
You're fine.
Hold on, honey. I got to get the beer first. He like runs past Priceless Heirlooms. That would make a great commercial, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He runs past, like, his friends, his family, his pets, his Priceless Heirlooms.
I got to get the Bud Ice Premium.
He sees the fridge framed in a halo of fire. He leaps through it, grabs the handle, rips it open. The cold air hits his face as the mist puts out the flames. He reaches in and pulls out a Bud Ice Premium. I think I just became...
There you go. That's a Super Bowl commercial.
I think I just became a marketing executive.
Send this to Bud Light. We need to...
Does that sound like it does. Sound like a really bad Super Bowl commercial?
Send this to Budweiser. Yeah, there you go. We got an idea for a really bad Super Bowl commercial. Right here in the Odd News.
Oh, we did it. We did it, guys. Woo!
Woo!
I feel like they should capitalize on it.
They should embrace
the stupidity. That's what everyone should do, is embrace the stupidity.
All right, well, I know a place that embraces the stupidity.
Okay. Is it Florida?
Yeah, let's go to Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do this. I have two Florida stories.
Okay.
Let's do this one here. A Florida man is accused of leaving underwear for a woman and breaking into her home to remove some of her own.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's a classic Florida underwear swap.
Yeah, it's like a trade right before the draft.
Right before the draft. Oh, man. Florida man makes a late move in the...
Third round panties.
In the third round panties. Oh, you're only getting third round panties. I don't know. Well, I guess at least they're not seventh round panties.
Yeah, it could be worse.
That would be bad.
A woman called the Bay County Sheriff's Office on January 17th and told officials that a few days earlier, she found women's underwear in her vehicle, which was unlocked. The day she called the sheriff's office, she found underwear also on the railing of her home's front porch. Both pairs of panties had a handwritten note attached said, which said that the person who was writing the notes wanted to see more of the woman in these pairs of underwear.
That's, why do you think that's a good idea?
I'm leaving her love notes.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Aren't I romantic?
So romantic. So creative. Oh, yeah, I bet lots of guys leave her flowers and chocolates. I'm going to leave her panties.
Her own panties.
Her own panties, yeah.
Later, on March 3rd, her home was burglarized. This one also featured a handwritten note as well. And this was specifically about how good the quality of her underwear was. So this is the first. This is the first round underwear draft pick.
Yeah, very, very high quality.
Yes,
very. That's weird. Now it seems like he doesn't like her, but just the panties themselves. The construction, the materials, the craftsmanship.
I know it's something to do with sex.
The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Later, on April 13th, the woman's boyfriend, who was at her home at the time, discovered a man who was known to the woman in the kitchen. The man fleed and ran into the woods. Deputies were able to find and arrest the person, later identified as 58-year-old Isitro L. Sanchez.
What is that name?
Yeah, Isitro.
Isitro?
Isitro. I never, yeah.
That is a weird name.
Interesting. Sanchez was charged with stalking, burglary of an occupied dwelling, and three counts of burglary of a occupied dwelling. A search of Sanchez's home further revealed items belonging to the woman and a large quantity of female underwear in half of his drawers.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So, yeah, this guy definitely had some sort of panty fetish or something.
Yeah, obviously.
That's it. He didn't really care about the woman. He just
likes the panties.
Yeah. Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
If you don't break into other random women's houses.
Exactly. That's the key.
That's the line.
Weird fetishes are all right as long as you don't commit any crimes in doing it.
Yes. Jeez, Florida, come on. You think you're learning the lesson by now? We've done this for 4 years. Come on. We're trying to help you guys.
I don't think they will ever learn their lesson.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right. Ready for our next Florida story?
Let's do it.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. This one, I can't believe, actually happened. A Florida drunken man who went into a Walmart bathroom with a lit cigarette passed out on the toilet.
What?
And as he passed out, the cigarette fell on his underwear.
Oh, no.
And caused a full-blown fire. Firefighters actually had to be dispatched to the Spanaway Walmart. The firefighters went to the store and found the bathroom completely filled with smoke.
Oh, my gosh.
As the man sat on the toilet, he still remained asleep.
What?
Yeah. Your underpants are on fire.
I don't know how you sleep through that.
Literally, you're on fire.
I mean, you're cooking at that point. He was really tired.
Yeah. He was really drunk.
Oh, is that what it was? I assume there has to be some sort of substance involved.
So the story goes, as the man sat on the toilet with his drawers down, he fell asleep and dropped the cigarette in between his legs, which ignited his underwear.
Why are you smoking while going to the bathroom anyway? Like, I don't know. You can't.
It helps mask the smell. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
What else? I have no idea. The man indeed slept through all of this. One firefighter said that one of our guys actually used a dry chemical extinguisher to put out his pants while they were on him, and he still didn't wake up.
Are you sure he didn't just die? Why why was he so fast asleep? I'm assuming some sort of substance abuse.
No, I think he was just that drunk.
He was
there's
drunk?
No, there's no drugs.
No? No.
This is all alcohol.
Did the story say alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you're on fire, like, I don't think any, I mean, I can't say anybody because clearly here's somebody who can sleep through. I don't know. I can barely sleep if it's like 80 degrees out. This guy is literally cooking his underwear while he's like still partially wearing them, and he's like totally fine.
Eventually, they were able to get the man to awaken. When he did, he got scared and pulled a knife on the firefighters.
Where are you pulling a knife from? He's sitting on the toilet.
Just, I guess.
And why would you pull a knife on firefighters?
Ah!
Like, what are they going to do to you? You were just on fire.
When he calmed down, the firefighters escorted him to a local hospital. The man had burns to his legs.
No kidding.
So, yeah, he's actually in the hospital for a little bit of time. So, yeah.
That's just the dumbest way to ever injure yourself.
Yeah.
And there's lots of dumb ways to injure yourself.
Literally on fire, and he didn't wake up.
Oh, I don't understand that.
I don't either, yeah. I'm with you. I can't go to sleep if it's too hot. So for this guy to pass out.
Yeah, and then be on fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't sleep on the toilet with a lit cigarette.
At Walmart.
Yeah. You can sleep on a toilet. You can smoke on a toilet. But don't sleep and smoke on a toilet.
Yeah.
Because you know Florida people, they're going to want to do one of those things.
Yeah, you can do
just
one.
Just don't do them at the same time.
You can do one of those things. You can't do all three.
Yeah.
Just do one of them. All right, ready for our next story here?
Let's do it.
We're leaving Florida, and we're going to this actual news bulletin from the FDA.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is actually true. I know, this is real. I have an actual FDA bulletin here in the Odd News.
This is important stuff.
It is. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling hash browns sold under the Harris Teeter and Rodney brands. These are sold in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Florida, Georgia, and Maryland. The reason? Someone mixed up potatoes and golf balls.
What? How does that happen? Boy, these potatoes sure look funny.
There's a lot of dimples on these potatoes.
Yeah. They're rock solid.
Oh, well. Yes, this is not a joke, folks. If you have Harris Teeter or Rondi hash browns in your freezer, you must throw it away. The Food and Drug Administration says that McCain Foods has recalled frozen hash browns sold under these brands because they may be contaminated with extraneous golf ball materials.
Golf ball materials?
Yes. Breaking news here on the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
It's just weird they say golf ball materials. Like, it's just a solid object.
But I guess hash browns are shredded. So I guess before they got shredded, a golf ball got in there.
So did the golf ball get shredded with? Because I'm envisioning it as the golf ball getting shredded.
And
you're just
eating all together.
A hash brown made out of golf ball.
But it's all mixed together.
How do you properly season a golf ball? As a golf expert, Rich, would you prepare a golf ball?
I never had to eat a golf ball. This is definitely a new one for the PGA.
Yeah, that's a new challenge before they tee off. You have to eat a golf ball.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
The FDA warns consumers that any consumption of these products with golf ball contaminations may pose choking hazards or physical injuries. The recalled products include frozen Southern style hash browns.
It's important to say it that way, just so people know they're Southern.
The recalled products were manufactured after January 19th. So
they've been out there a while.
Yeah. So
you're probably eating golf balls right now.
You may be, yes. One of the states is Delaware. It's
close by.
Right in the area. But the two brands are Harris Teeter and Roundy. R-O-U-N-D-Y. Roundy. Roundy? Roundy? I have no idea.
I don't know. Never heard of it.
One of these two brands may have golf ball contaminations in it. So, yeah.
Okay, so somebody put a golf ball in the machine on purpose.
Or somebody was bored and was playing some putt-putt.
What, in the factory where they make hash browns?
Yeah, I got bored.
And how hard did he hit the ball for it to go into the machines?
He had a 4-iron.
He had a 4-iron. Yeah, because you really got to... Like, I imagine the machines are very big, and they're not, like, laying on the ground, so you got to hit it up and into something.
Yeah, so actually more like a wedge, so you probably had a wedge, yeah.
What type of idiot brings a wedge to putt? Me. That's who. That would be me in this story.
So,
no, I think somebody intentionally put a golf ball into the machine.
So, it's a true story. If you have Harris Teeter or Roundy, I don't know. Roundy or Roundy? I don't know how you pronounce this. If you have one of those two hash brown brands in your freezer, throw it away immediately. There might be golf ball contaminations in there.
Imagine being the guy that has to break that news to your boss. Like, I accidentally put a golf ball in those hash browns.
And I hate this job. Bye-bye.
I hate this job. Goodbye. That's basically, yeah, that's why I think somebody put it in there. That's their way of getting back at the company before they leave.
I think that's the only explanation. Somebody was fed up.
Golf balls.
With Harris Teeter.
Either that, or you have to be immensely stupid to confuse a golf ball for a potato. Have you never eaten a potato before?
Yeah.
Have you never played mini golf before?
I brought my potato here to the mini golf. Yeah.
Just drop like a lumpy, oddly shaped potato on the ground, and you try and putt it.
You go to your local mini golf place, and they go, "Oh, here's your ball. Oh, I'm good. I got my potato."
I want that to be like a standard phrase for everyone. Somebody offers you something, you're like, "I'm good. I got my potato." Just for anything.
Yeah. Oh, you want to go to the driving range? Oh, I'm good. I got my potatoes.
Got my potatoes.
Got my taters.
Just have a sack of a 5-pound sack of potatoes with
you. What?
No, you yell mashed.
Mashed!
Mashed! That's one way to mash a potato.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yep, true story. This is all true, man. Harris Teeter or Roundy brands of hash browns. Do not eat them. All right, I got one last story for you. And this one I absolutely love. This story, we've had this theme kind of recently of these awesome kids just like doing these bold actions, right?
Right. Last week?
Last week we had the kid that was so desperate for McDonald's that he YouTubed
how to drive a car
so he could drive to a McDonald's.
And he safely drove, I think if I remember this correctly, he safely drove 4 blocks.
Yep.
Didn't he have his younger sister?
Right,
with
his younger sister, yeah.
And he got all the way to the drive-thru and he ordered the hamburger.
Yeah, he made it.
That's impressive. So you're telling me we have another young, enterprising, driven person here in this next story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I absolutely love this story. A mother on Reddit shared a photo of a, quote, totally legit note that her son claimed he brought home from school, saying that he needed to play more video games.
Now, that is a school that I would like to go to.
Yeah. Reddit user Eclectic Blue published this photo of the note written by her 7-year-old son, claiming that his teachers were concerned about his performance in video game classes.
Video game classes... very important. A lot of colleges look specifically at those grades.
Yep. I have the note.
Okay.
And I think it's appropriate to bring back dramatic reading time. Does that sound good?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
All right. A dramatic reading of the 7-year-old's totally legit note from the school.
Okay.
Dear parents, Nathan has been doing good in all of his classes, except for one. A class that is called Video Game Class. Note, if he does not stay up all night to learn how to play these video games, he will have to be kicked out of school. We think you should begin by letting him stay up all night, starting with tonight's homework. He is allowed by the school to play anything on either computer, Wii, iPod, iPad, phones, or any other electronic from the school.
So
it's just son from school.
So what did you think of this totally legit note?
Well, I think that school is very obviously very strict. they take this very seriously. He's gonna get kicked out of school.
Yeah, just that's it.
Completely expelled.
Right, if he doesn't improve on his video games.
I like the fact that the entire school also signed off on the letter.
Yeah, from the school.
From the school. I don't think I've ever gotten a letter from the entire school. I would love a video game class, though.
Yeah.
That is awesome. You know, I feel he should be allowed to play video games.
I love how immediate he is, too, starting with tonight's homework.
That's right. He covered all his bases, computer, iPhone, iPad, what else did he say? Nintendo Wii?
Yeah.
He, you know, because...
Or any other electronic...
Right, any other electronic devices.
No. It just stops at any other electronic.
Oh, any other electronic.
That's it.
It doesn't even have to be a device.
Right.
It could just be, I don't know, just a chipset.
Yeah, Tiger handheld game.
Yes,
which
it counts.
Is horrible.
It's an electronic.
Yes.
Oh, man, this kid is going places.
I know, right? I feel
he should be allowed to play whatever he wants.
I feel like this kid having the balls to make up a fake note and try and pass it to his mom as a legit note.
But also, like,
I don't know. I think it's really, really bold.
It is. And he you know, he raised the stakes too. Like, he knew, like, this has to be really serious. Like, if
I'm going to get kicked out of school. Yeah,
that's right. It's not detention. It's not like, you know, a failing grade. It's just kicked out of school completely. I love it.
For one grade.
For one grade.
In a video game class.
Video game class. Oh. I love it. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, I would love video games. And I would always argue, oh, you know, it's good. It teaches you things like eye-hand coordination and science, you know. And it never worked. I never went as far as this kid, though, to write a letter.
Yeah. Actually make up a letter from the school.
The entire school.
All right, so you want the aftermath?
Yeah, please tell me he got to play some video games that night.
While the mother was able to quickly identify the obvious attempt at fraud, she said that she did reward her son for the creative attempt and extended his video game time by an extra half an hour to study for video game class.
Nice.
So
there you go. He's going to pass. I feel like if he puts enough work in, he'll be able to pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he won't get kicked out.
That would be a shame to get kicked out of video game university for failing that one class.
Yeah. But I love this recent trend, these young kids doing bold maneuvers.
Yeah, I mean, they show real drive and creativity.
Literally.
Yeah, literally in the one case, yeah.
Yeah, we have real literal drive.
This kid, though, shows initiative in just trying to get away with being lazy. He put so much effort into the note in order to go play video games.
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a second. He's trying to avoid doing work. He probably did more work to come up with the letter.
Right.
Than just actually doing the
actually
work.
Actually typing on the computer.
Yeah.
You know? Printing it out.
Was it typed?
I think so,
Did he take the time to type it out? Wow. That's impressive. Good on you, little kid. Good on you.
There you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially wrap this one up, let's go over all that we have learned on this week's episode. Folks, it's time for What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that video game class is very high stakes.
Yes.
And if you don't
all
pass,
or nothing.
That's right. If you don't pass, you get kicked out of school. A lot of colleges look at that video game grade. Very, very important for your transcripts. I also learned that golf balls make delicious hash browns, apparently.
Yes. Excellent.
A couple of brands are trying some new flavors. Golf ball flavored hash browns.
And a couple of mini golf courses are using potatoes.
Hey, man. Times are tough for mini golf. They got to make do with what they got, and what they got is potatoes for some reason.
Yeah, apparently.
I also learned that you can either sleep on the toilet or smoke on the toilet, but not both at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
One or the other.
It's risky when you combine smoke and sleep on the toilet. I also learned that weird fetishes are okay as long as you don't commit any crimes.
Yeah, come on.
You can do whatever freaky stuff you want. Just don't hurt anybody and don't commit any crimes.
And don't stalk women and don't break into the woman's house.
Yeah, and steal her underwear and then give it back to her with creepy notes
about
the quality of the underwear.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's just a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
I also learned that I'm basically a marketing executive because of my bad Bud Light Super Bowl house fire ad.
I think it's a solid ad.
I think so, too. I think if we see it during the Super Bowl, the next Super Bowl, I think I should sue
Budweiser.
Budweiser. Yep. Yeah. It's only right. I copyrighted it right here, right now. Copyright, trademark, all that jazz.
There you go. We said it.
We said it, therefore it's legal.
Yeah.
And that's how the law works.
Yeah, exactly.
It works almost like George Costanza and how he makes up fake architect companies, which we found out was actually a real crime.
Yes, it is. In New York State, real crime.
I mean, George Costanza could have been arrested. Seinfeld would have been completely different.
Well, they all ended up getting arrested anyway.
Well,
so.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
But for how long did he get away with his fake architecture firm? That hardened criminal. And finally, we found out that the real-life Boomhauer lives in Kentucky.
Yeah, because that guy sounded exactly like Boomhauer.
He really did.
Yeah. And there you go, folks. That's what we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! And there you go, folks. Another episode in the books. Three delicious courses for the meal for your mind. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right, and we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down to a 1 to 2 minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go and share with friends and family the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you find us. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitters. Let us know what's happening in your world. Let us know any news stories that are happening. Maybe we'll mention it here on the podcast as well. We also have a new feature that we're doing every Monday called the 60-Minute Music Monday Playlist. It's simple. All you got to do is have Spotify and see our weekly playlist every Monday. Each week, a different theme. And it's definitely fun to listen to new music.
It's always a nice surprise.
That's right.
Something new every week.
You never know what you're going to find on each week's podcast. So, definitely keep an eye on that as well. But there you go. I think that will wrap it up for this week's episode. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. Woo! That'll do it.
All right.
I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. The Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.